Every Tuesday at this time, we receive personal finance tips from Michelle Singletary. She writes the syndicated column, The Color of Money, for The Washington Post. This week, Michelle answers questions sent in by you, our listeners. Michelle, our first question comes from two brothers in their mid to late 20s. They write, we've recently become beneficiaries to our late mother's estate. We wish to make the little we've inherited grow without necessarily going the expensive financial advisor route. We want to be involved and smart. So, Michelle, not the expensive financial advisor, what would you suggest?
Well, they're not going to like my answer because I say they should go through the expensive financial advisor route. Listen, it's a misconception that going to a financial advisor is going to cost you a boatload of money. You can find very affordable financial planners who will set you on the right path. Don't try to go cheap on this kind of case. I know lots of people think that I'm really frugal, but when it comes to this kind of thing, you know, I advise that these brothers seek out a financial advisor. And there are a couple places where they can go. For example, they can go to the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, which is the professional association for fee-only financial advisors. So if they don't want to pay a whole lot of money, say a couple hundred dollars to just get some basic advice, they can go that route, or they can hire a certified financial planner.
Okay, our next question is from a 29-year-old woman who says she's been socking away $500 each month into a money market account, earning very low interest. In the next 5 to 10 years, she hopes to buy a house, and she wants to know what's the best way for her to invest her savings.
Well, I have to say, I want to applaud this young woman for saving so well. $500 a month, that is terrific. Because she wants to buy her house at the minimum in 5 years, she wants to be careful about where she puts that money. You don't want to invest short-term money because you're going to need it in such a short period of time. So continue to save in that emergency fund that she's got set up, which she's doing in the money market. Go and try to max out her retirement fund if she has one at work, and then the extra money used to save for the house. So sort of three pots that she should be going for right now.
Okay, one more question. This is from a listener who is writing with a question about paying for college. The listener writes, my son is a freshman and has about $100,000 in a trust for college. His tuition is about $30,000 a year. Should he take out student loans and keep his money invested, or should he continue to pay cash for his college? My older son paid cash when he attended college. He graduated with no debt, but he has no cash. Which is the best way to go?
You know, as always with these situations, you have to decide what's best for your family. But personally, if I had money in the bank, I would pay for the college education. Just think about this. If he had to borrow all that money that he needs, about $120,000 based on the tuition price that she quoted, even at 3%, which is what the going rate for college loans is, it would take him 10 years to pay that off. And his monthly payment at 10 years at 3% would be about $1,100 a month. This young man would have to earn about $139,000 to really afford that $1,100 payment. So, you know, mama, if you got money in the bank, if your baby got money in the bank, pay for the college education. That's what you saved it for. Lots of folks save money for college and then want to figure out how not to use this money. That's crazy. Pay the boy's tuition.
Okay. Michelle Singletary writes the syndicated column, The Color of Money, for The Washington Post. Thanks a lot, Michelle.
You're so welcome.
If there's a financial situation that has you stumped, email your questions to us. The address is daytoday@npr.org, and please put question for Michelle in the subject line.